following program is brought to you in living color.
Hello. Dear Donald Trump, my name is Ron Van Dam. I'm a talk show host, generating my show out of New England. That's where you came from. That's where you didn't get any votes. Respectfully, and I use that word in a stupid fashion because I don't respect you, but respectfully, I have one suggestion for you. Your presidency probably won't last more than half a year before you're indicted on some charge, conflict of interest, treason, saying something that is so hurtful that no one will be able to live with you anymore. But before that time comes, you and your little friends in Congress, you do what you want to do. But I'll tell you something. My suggestion to you is to shut the hell up. Find a little hole, dig deep into it, bury yourself, and don't come out until Groundhog's Day, when at that point, you can tell me how long the winter will be. But until then, I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to read your little twits and twats with their anger and vindictiveness and misspellings. I don't want that. Do your little dance, but not on my floor. Donald, may I call you Donald? I have more to tell you. You know, my father told me a little story that I'll never forget. He said, Ron, unless you have something nice to say about somebody, shut the hell up. Donald, I must pass that on to you. The more you open your mouth, the more you even look in my direction, the more of a laughingstock you are throughout the globe. People don't respect you. They laugh at you. They mock you. They make fun of you. Just like the schoolyard bully behind your back, we're not too fond of you. So, what to do? Well, as I said in the beginning of my letter to you, I suggest you just go away. Take your adult family down to the bowling alley in the White House and bowl a few games and shut the hell up. Take a little vacation. Play some golf somewhere. Let's see, where could you go to play golf? Just stay out of our face. Enough. We've endured you for over a year in the campaign. We can't take any more of this crap. And we won't. We don't care what you think. We don't care what you do. Just shut up. I don't know.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough.
Relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. That is who I am. I am your host. Do you care for a sandwich or a beverage? Can I get you a beverage? Would you care for a cocktail? I know I would. I wish I got a call from the White House saying, Ron, could you come up and talk to Donald and please tell him to shut up? Please? There were many articles written about, what's his name? And people who know Donald Trump very well, and they say he's a nice man. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened. Is he bipolar? I mean, because he's not nice, really. He's not nice unless you're nice to him. If you say something derogatory to him, he will chew you up and spit you out. A fine, fine human. You see, what he doesn't understand is he's president of the United States, and even people in other countries call him the leader of the free world, which makes my heart a jitter. But this will never get through to his hair's too thick. Nothing will get through to that brain of what there may be left of it. He needs medication. He needs to see a therapist. And I think that's available to him under the National Affordable Care Act. Donald, stop tweeting in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the night. You should be sleeping. You should be getting some sleep. It bothers me. You can't make decisions of such great importance and not get any sleep. There's something wrong here. But the deed is done. You've successfully manipulated and maneuvered people into a position towards you by knocking down and annihilating everything around you. You're the only one left standing in the middle. So the stupid people of this country had nothing else to vote for. They voted for you because you were so impressive the way that you knocked people down. And most people in this country, they love to go to shows in the movies and see annihilation and destruction and things being knocked down and things being blown up and people being shot and all that kind of stuff. They love that kind of, they love horror movies. They love that kind of crap. So this was what you did. You actually created all this chaos around you so that you were the only one left standing. Bravo. Bravo. Well played, Mr. Trump. You've won the chess game. Now what do you do? Uh-oh. Never thought of that, did you? Inexperienced. What the hell do I do now? I know. You proved your point. Now we're stuck with you, and you're stuck with yourself. It's not a good scenario. Even people that supported you are just a little bit with the hands behind the back with the fingers crossed. I hope, I hope, I hope I did the right thing. I hope, I hope, I hope. I don't really blame the people of this country that voted for you. You did a masterful job of manipulation. You deceived, and you won. You know the term divide and conquer? That's what you did. You divided this country into two. And then when they were both divided, you stepped in and you conquered. You can't conquer something that is united. That's tough to do. That's why this country has been so successful since its birth, because it remained united. It's even in the title of the country, United States. What you successfully did, Mr. Trump, is you divided us. You brought all of us down to our knees, with all your crap and your manipulation and you knocked everything down that wasn't working for you. You knocked it all down successfully through you're a brilliant marketer. I've got to tell you, man, you do that well. It's about all you do well. You're a brilliant marketer. You marketed yourself as the brand to the top by knocking the competition out of existence. That's what you did. Divide and conquer. Well played. Well played. Good strategy. Well played. But now, you got to do something with it. And I don't think you know how. And I don't think you have the stability. And I don't think you have the knowledge. And I don't think you have the mental capacity. Because you still can't spell. And your vocabulary is limited. And you're like a child who believes whatever he hears because someone told him it's true. Mr. Trump, through the rest of your presidency, however long that may be, before you're impeached, every time you blow your nose, you will hear about it. Every time you turn to the left, you will be criticized for it. Every time you turn to the right, you shall be maligned. Every time anybody sees your picture, you shall be made fun of. You are a target. The target is on your face, it's on your front, it's on your back. You're a target of stupidity. You're a target of uncertainty. And you're a target of people that cannot tolerate your political existence. Maybe you're a nice guy. Maybe you're fun to have a beer with. Maybe you run a company nice here and there before you declare bankruptcy for the company. I don't know. That's not my business. Maybe your company's overseas use child labor. Maybe you have treasonous ties with other countries business-wise. Maybe some of the things you do as president will end up benefiting you and your companies, and that shall be found to be a conflict of interest. Maybe it'll be worse. Maybe some of your dealings in the past will have been found to be illegal. Maybe you can still be tried as president for some illegalities in your prior life. Maybe someone will start hacking your business files and your personal files and question your legitimacy as president as you did Barack Obama's legitimacy as president. It's all going to happen, sir. Every day of your political life. Get ready for the ride of the century. And just please, in the meantime, before you're taken down politically by subcommittees, until that day that you stand and being impeached and your little friends walk with their heads between their legs out of the room. Before all of that, you need to be quiet. You need to shut up. You need to step backwards. And if you don't, you just make yourself a bigger target. Your success is fleeting. Now, on the flip side of everything that I've said, I hope you do well. I hope you find that middle ground, not too far right, not too far left. I hope you find the middle. And if you can, and if you do, you might be a great president. But you need to find the middle. You need to be compassionate toward everybody. You need to stop your anger displays, because that's not stable. And you need to shut up. Do those things, and you've got a fighting chance because, Mr. President, quote unquote, myself and I believe everybody around the world, especially in this country, want the United States to thrive, want it to be successful, want it to be good and fair and wonderful, and to create many jobs and have opportunities of prosperity and bring people out of poverty. I think we all want that. Can you do it? Can you do it without being an asshole?
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Welcome back to the program. I am your host. How are you? We do this every single weekday, unless it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that, or have a little indigestion. But otherwise, we do this thing all the time. All the time. It's a pleasure to be with you. This week, I have to go to the dentist, the dentite, and I don't like going to the dentist. I must tell you, I really don't. And the reason is that my teeth are located in my head. And that doesn't mean that they don't really exist and that they're just in my head. They're physically in my head. And the problem is that if there's any pain that's connected with my teeth, I feel it like really close to my center. See, to me, the head is the center of everything. Because it's where I put my food in there, I taste in there, I smell, all my senses are in there. And my brain, which kind of controls everything, is in there too. The only thing that's really outside of my head would be my heart, which is the machine, but it's run by the computer, which is my brain. So everything in my head is like really close to where this is close to my center. And my teeth are like right in the middle of it in my mouth. And it's important to go to the dentist on a regular basis and to make sure that you're healthy in the mouth, I call it. Very important. It is important. It's very important. But at the same time, I fear them. I fear them greatly. And I don't care for my dentist. I don't know if you like your dentist or not, but it's not easy to like them. Basically because my dentist maligns me. My dentist, as soon as I, there's the dental assistant, the oral hygienist, it's usually a lady with bad breath, but large boobs. So, you know, it's a trade-off. And she cleans my teeth and she'll pick at it with that pickaxe thing, which nobody likes a sharp object near their head, no matter what it is. Get your sharp objects away from my head. She'll actually go into my mouth, and I give her credit for that because most people won't go there. They don't want to go into my mouth. Maybe kissing, but you're not really going in. You're just kind of playing with the lip thing. But going in there and actually cleaning that crap out, because most people really smell horrible. Oh my God, they smell horrible. Most people do. I tip them like they're strippers or something. You know, like, I'll clean your teeth. All right, I'll give you 20. It's what, you know, that you feel like tipping them because, oh my God, you went into my mouth. I mean, that is like, I would have to prepare an entire week for to go into somebody's mouth like that. I'd have to get camping equipment. It's just awful. I don't know how anybody can do that. It's an awful idea. who would want to do that? So I got to go there and I got to open my mouth, and then they have to put all the stuff in my mouth. They put cotton in there and a tube that sucks things out of me. It sucks out through my, I like to put things in my mouth. I don't like things sucked out of it. That's not the idea of my mouth. And they're picking away and they're scaling the thing and they're, and then they clean them, you know, they get a little crew in there and they clean them out. And with this high speed drill, it feels like they're fracking, you know, they're fracking me. And fracking, I understand, is not good for people. It's very, very uncomfortable. But she's sweet as pie, you know? And then she always says to me, you be careful now. You've had quite a tartar buildup. By the way, I don't think that's where they get tartar sauce. Is it true that when you spit into the bowl, that goes like right into a vat and that they turn that into tartar sauce? Is that right? Is that fake news? And that sink, that little bowl, oh my God, here's a lovely woman trying to clean my teeth, getting on her camping boots and camping equipment and rock climbing equipment, actually going into my mouth to clean it, and I respect her for that. And then she gives me a little thing of water and says, now spit into the bowl. And no matter what you do, there's this little, I don't know what you call it, it's a little spittle thing that comes out of your mouth, but it's solid, and it connects from the bowl to your mouth. It's absolutely disgusting. You always have to wipe it away. But here's this is the most embarrassing time I've ever been with a woman at all. An attractive woman is standing there with her bazooms over my face, going into my mouth, and what do I do in return? I spit into a bowl right in front of her. It's just really not right. It's not right. It's wrong. And then the dentist comes in. And the dentist, fine man, been to college, I understand. Studied this stuff, the fine art of teething. I'm always doing something wrong in his, he's like a bad father. I mean, a good father, but a very scolding one. He's always scolding me. Are you flossing? Am I going to be hooked up to a lie detector? Cause otherwise I'll say, yes, I do. Do you floss? Come on, Ron, do you floss? All right, no, you got me. You broke me down. No, I don't. Ron, if you don't floss, you're going to get gum diseases. And wow, man, you don't want to go through that, because then we have to drill and we have to, it's horrible. It's horrible. And he doesn't say that to me, but he makes me feel bad. You know, you're not taking care of your teeth, Ron. Well, I'm doing the best I can, dentist. And he always wants to replace a cavity. Always wants to replace a cavity. I don't even have any cavities. He wants to replace old fillings. Yeah, right. Okay, fine. Yeah. Yeah. That's like a plumber coming into your house every 6 months and saying, you know, your water heater is just fine, but it's been around like for a year now. Shouldn't you get rid of it? I can't live like that. I can't live like that. And what's, you know, everybody goes to the dentist at least once a year, many people twice a year. And yet there's no good dental insurance. There's health insurance. There's the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, at least through Tuesday. I don't know how long that'll go on. But there's no dentist, Affordable Dentist Act. Because dentists just aren't affordable. They have some dental plans. Oh, and they're wonderful. How much was that? That was $2,000 for your visit today, Ron. Well, I have dental insurance. Okay, $1,800. What? That's all that I, that's all they pay? Yes, that's all. Dental insurance is not wonderful, Ron. What? Why not? This is something we go to all the time. And yet there's no insurance for it. There's house insurance. There's car insurance. There's medical insurance. Dental insurance? Nah, I don't know. I'm saying, nah, I'm not sure. Not really. Not greatly so, no. No, not really, no. Sorry, but no. Dental insurance, no. No. Go to the dentist a lot. Make sure your teeth are always clean and always healthy. Insurance for it? Not really great. No, no, not really. No, 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 no. No, no, sorry, no. Anyway, I don't like people. I don't like people, and I don't like people touching me, and I don't like people touching me in the mouth. So now we're really getting down to it now. But there are some good dentists, and I spend my life trying to find these good dentists. And when you find one, take it out to dinner, make it like you, because a good dentist is hard to find. Well, I found one, Dr. Jade Miller. I found a good dentist. He's not my dentist, but we're going to talk to him right now. Hi, Dr. Miller. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure having you here. Dr. Jade Miller is president of the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, and he joins us now. And this is, I don't know how many kids listen to this show, but the parents sure do. And I'll tell you, teeth, big stuff. And there are always technical advances. I wish I was a kid sometimes, because it's so different than when I was a kid. So many different methods to make your teeth healthy. So what's new in the field of dentistry for kids and cavity prevention and oral health?
You know, Ron, as you mentioned, things have changed a lot. And like you said, I'd want to be a kid again.
Yeah.
And many parents say that, you know, after their child has been in my practice for some time. Gee, I wish I was a child in your practice.
Yeah.
But one of the new things that are out there is a product called silver diamine fluoride. And what that is an antibacterial liquid that it's not a panacea, so it's not really designed to manage, you know, all cavities, but in certain limited situations, it can be a good resource and tool that we use, particularly in very young children, that they're just not capable of managing a permanent treatment on that, in that area. Now, if a child has a toothache or an infection, we've got to do something. But
sure.
In situations where it's earlier, we can apply this. And what it does is it really prevents the progress of the cavity, and then it allows us to buy time to really go in and treat that problem at a later time.
So,
I think the thing that's important for parents to know is that the affected part of the tooth, or the part of the tooth that has the cavity, will turn black when the cavity progress has stopped. So there is some cosmetic effect that can be corrected and resolved at a later time. But that's what's new.
So this is applied to the teeth themselves?
Well, it's applied directly to the area of the tooth that has the cavity.
Uh-huh.
So it's really specific for that area of the tooth that has a cavity.
I see. Okay. Let me ask you quickly about fluoride, because there's some controversy about it. Like, too much fluoride might be bad, yet fluoride does take care of oral health. Where is that? What's the balance there?
And I think what you just, the way you described it, balance. I think there is the balance that we talk about is really, we know, first of all, fluoride is a natural occurring element or mineral in pretty much all water sources.
Uh-huh.
It's in our soil, and so really what fluoride does is it makes the tooth structure harder and more resistant to a cavity.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing we know is that, hey, we can reduce up to 50 to 60%, we can have 50 or 60% less cavities on kids when we're using fluoride appropriately.
Okay.
So I think the key things to know is that on very young children, just use a very small amount, and I tell parents kids that aren't spitting out yet, use the size of a grain of rice of toothpaste when they're brushing their teeth, because they'll still swallow that. But we know there's a lot of benefits.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when a child goes to the dentist on a regular basis and understands what oral health is, that child will follow that path through the rest of their lives. They will see their dentist when they should for regular dental exams. They understand that the health of the mouth is indicative of the health of the body. They get that. So it's so important for a parent to instill that upon their child so that when they take over in their lives, they do the same.
Ron, I couldn't have described it better. We know that if we start out with good oral health, the likelihood that that's going to continue is increased dramatically. And what we at the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry recommend, by age one, to establish your first dental visit. Your child should have their first dental visit by age one, establish in the dental home, because we know that any dental effects can have some general medical health effects.
Yeah.
So we really want to ensure a lifelong health, not only for their entire body, but also good oral health, and just a situation that child is going to thrive.
Yeah. I think all of us, when we're growing up and even become adults, we just don't want to hurt. We just you know, fix it, make it good, but don't hurt me there. It's always like a pain thing. And I know the advances, even in that sense, have been incredible.
You know, they have been. And I'm just like you. When I have any medical or dental procedure, I just assume that I have it not hurt either.
Yes.
We do have, you know, advances with local anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
But again, our goal is let's prevent that problem from ever occurring.
Right.
Establishing that dental visit by age one with real effective preventive tools.
Yeah, excellent. So where do I go for more information, doctor?
Ron, the go-to place is the AAPD's website, mychildrensteeth.org. It's loaded with terrific information for parents, fun interactive games for the kids, and is really a huge resource for your viewers and listeners.
Excellent. Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you, and thanks for promoting the oral health idea, because it's you want to be healthy all over the place, don't you? Thank you, doctor.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, kids. Kids definitely. I mean, parents will bring their kids to the dentist throughout their childhood, but after you're an adult, it's kind of up to you, and, you know, good luck. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was watching an HBO movie last night. The name of the movie was Spy. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible movie. Any movie that Melissa McCarthy is in is usually not good. Usually it's just a fat lady falling down and that's about it. She's lost a lot of weight, but even though she's lost a lot of weight, she still falls down a lot and she's still a fat lady. And I don't mean that as fat shaming, although to be honest with you, look who the president is. If he can fat shame, I guess it's a national call to say it's okay now. If the president can disrespect people and show anger for what other people do and express his anger, I guess it's okay for all of us to express our anger now, because that's okay now. The anger line has been broken, so I can express my anger too. That's why we can all express our anger, be honest, be transparent about how we feel. So let's get on it. Let's do it. I used to be respectful of the office of president, but apparently the one who is in it now says respect out the window, say what you feel all the time without thinking about it. So, okay, here we go. That's why it's going to be a fun ride. You asked for it, sir. Now you shall get it. Anyway, so I'm watching a movie, Spy. And there are some songs in it, and one of them I was really impressed with. The movie sucked, but this song was really good. And I found out the name of this group is Bad Seed Rising. So I looked at the video, because I had nothing else to do at the time, and they're young, they're kids. I mean, they're not like five-year-olds or anything, but they look like they're like high school kids or something like that, or college kids, not even. And I thought, my God, talented stuff. So I thought I'd pass it on to you. This is Bad Seed Rising.
Now listen here.
Bad Seed Rising. Excellent people. Nice, I suppose. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Unbelievably painful.